There is an important sequence here. We find Jesus stepping out of the Jordan, baptized by a man, suffering it to be so now, then the dove, the baptism of the Spirit. We know now that the descent of the ghost signaled that the human sense of body had completely been overcome. Now there stood a man who was no longer a man of earth. In his consciousness, there existed only the omnipresent self, the One. To human eyes, it was the same body they had seen, but it was not. It was the body of the soul, indestructible. I'm quite sure he needed no food. He lived on light. He was light. He moved as light, and he denounced that I am the light. The mission of Jesus Christ could not begin until the soul body had been formed, completed, realized, and lived in. And this is the birth of the Christ. This is the moment of being begotten of the Father. And only then did Christ walk the earth without human interference from a man named Jesus. Only then could Christ move through the earth, giving the teaching, for now there was one, not two. The Christ body and the Christ mind lived and walked, and this was identified by human sense as Jesus. And there were still remnants of humanhood, and therefore the wilderness experience had to follow. And after the wilderness experience, which was the ascension, the complete overcoming of material law, there had to be the three temptations to show what ascension means. Ascension meant that all personal self had been destroyed. There was no desire to wear a halo, no desire to be identified as the one who came from God, no desire to own anything, not even the kingdoms of this world in all their power and glory, no desire to possess, and no lack, no limitation, no need, unfulfilled. I, Spirit, am self-supporting, complete. Nothing external to self was needed. Self being the infinite self. This acceptance became the realized Christ now walking forth to demonstrate to mankind the identity that stands behind every form that walks the earth. Saying, when you reach back into yourself, you'll find I, and I am the way. When you reach back into yourself, I will pour the oil. I will release you from all measures of iniquity that appear to your limited human consciousness. I stand where you are. All that I have is thine, and I will never leave you. This is who is now walking the earth called Jesus. But it is I, the infinite invisible. Because the man Jesus has died to the Lazarus within him, to the Mary within him, to the Herod within him, to the Pilate within him, even to the Judas within him. The man Jesus is no more. And it was only before, because rather, all this had happened to purify that consciousness completely of humanhood, of finitude, of a denial of omnipresent self as the one and only. Now he could step forward, and now the Spirit could speak words of truth that can be depended upon, words that you never have to examine suspiciously and say, I wonder if this is true. You can do that with people, but with the words of Spirit you say, thank you. This is more true than anything ever divined by a human mind. This I can depend on. This is life itself talking. And this Spirit steps forth and gives us the reason why it can now walk the earth doing the miracles. And the world sees Jesus saying this, but it is the omnipresent one behind all of us saying, I, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And those poor are us. Those who are poor because they have not let the oil flow. Those who are poor because they have not accepted identity. Those who are poor because they are still clinging to a human concept of possession. Who do not know that Spirit possesses nothing. For Spirit is all. The Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. In other words, as I within you is received, that which was the broken heart is shown not even to be the heart itself. There is no separation in Spirit to be broken up about. The broken heart is the denial of omnipresence. When we say, I have lost my husband, I have lost my wife, I have lost my child, we are denying omnipresence. We do not realize that the self which is my child, the self which is myself, are one and the same. Never separated. No matter what the human picture may show, never separated. And that is how you heal the brokenhearted. The realization of the true self reveals the absence of the possibility of separation in omnipresence. To preach deliverance to the captives, those who live in the caves of their own mind, prisoners entombed, and recovering of sight to the blind, those who are blind to Christ, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Someone said this before the man Jesus said it. For the Christ in Jesus was the same Christ in Isaiah who had said it before. That same Christ in Isaiah, in Jesus, in you, in me, in Joel, in whoever has accepted omnipresent Spirit to be the only self, finds the Christ giving you that precious oil to share. Oh, how we want to accept that I am omnipresent Spirit. But it's harder for a rich man to get through the eye of a camel, the eye of a needle, than a camel. Because even though we're willing to accept I am omnipresent spirit, the habits of years are not discarded by a phrase. Is there pain in spirit? Is there property in spirit? Are there problems in spirit? Is there a physical form in spirit? Are there human conditions in spirit? How can you have these things and accept omnipresent spirit as your name? Can you possess 10 cents and be omnipresent spirit? The very fact of omnipresent spirit is the denial of the existence of matter. There cannot be omnipresent spirit and omnipresent means there is no other. Only spirit is. And therefore, what about our possessions that we work so hard for? We learn that we are merely given the use of them. And we say, thank you. I am their custodian momentarily. They are not my permanent property. How can that be if my name is spirit? That which passes in front of me for my use is recognized as the activity of the world consciousness. And only to the extent that I transmute world consciousness by the acceptance of spiritual consciousness, do I find that those things that appear as mine are working in coordinated harmony with the fullness of my being. Then they begin to have a relevancy to what I am doing. Then the activity of the spirit translating into these appearances called possessions all works in one direction. No one can take your spiritual possessions. They can only take your mental, physical possessions. Your spiritual possessions are nailed down inside your consciousness. You don't have to protect them. Spirit is constantly pressing them forth in such abundance that it's hard to keep up with it. And so you must learn how to practice in your meditation periods the knowledge that I have nothing, I own nothing, and I am nothing. As long as you think you have, you own, and you are something, you are saying you are not pure, perfect, omnipresent spirit. Oh, the human mind begins to fear that if I think I have nothing, it'll disappear, somebody will take it away. What if somebody comes to rob it? I won't try to protect it. All of these fears pass through the one who is not in the third degree. Not even glimpsing the third degree. You might get to the place where you want to make all kinds of foolish tests and say, well, I'll just pile all my things in the car and I won't lock it. You're just falling into the tempter who's trying to make you jump off the roof to show that somebody will catch you. You are spirit, and there is no other. And there's no need to prove anything. There's no one to prove it to. And if you want to prove it to your human selfhood, you're making a mistake. And so we do not lose our sense of responsibility. If anything, we have a higher sense of responsibility. because we can see through the material appearance to the spiritual reality. And whatever Spirit places in your hands to be used is a treasure. But it's used in the manner in which Spirit placed it in your hands to be used. So that the activity of whatever that appears to be is released to the Spirit which placed it before you. We are not setting up the mental roadblocks as to how things should be. I have found that when there is a continuous effort to meditate on I own nothing, that there comes to you a great release. And the release takes an unusual form in that you become more aware of your spiritual identity. It was only the physical sense of self which clung to the idea of owning. And in giving up the sense of possession, you find that what you are giving up mentally is almost zero compared to what you discover you do have. You give up the transient sense of things and you become the proud possessor of the infinite. All of the infinite can function through the one who has given up the sense of owning. The minute you try to put a label on the infinite or carve a piece of it for yourself, you lose it. It has an innate awareness of whether or not you are letting it flow unmolested, uninterfered with. And then it comes to you as a great dispensation that all that the Father hath is yours. And when you are clinging to material possessions as your possessions, that is the denial that all that the Father hath is yours. In our human sense of clinging, we are rejecting the fullness that is available. You find everything is upside down. Another thing we have to learn to meditate upon is that I am nothing. And this I we're speaking of is the human self who goes to work, the human self who has friends, the human self who mingles with people. I am nothing. Why? Because right here where this me appears, only the Spirit is. And when that sense of a me is gone, the Spirit that is realized here appears as a me in harmony with my environment. But it is only the Jesus appearing where the Christ is. It is the Mary appearing where the Christ is, the Lazarus appearing where the Christ is. One day, the you is Mary resenting the fact that Jesus wasn't present when needed, and the next day the you is Mary boasting happily, showing forth the soul body. Look how quickly that transition took place within 3 years. When he sent forth the disciples two by two, it is said that they not only healed, they anointed the victims with oil. What does that mean? They opened the spiritual consciousness of those people to their identity. James says in one of his epistles, is something wrong? Do you have a problem? Well, find the oil. Find the oil. Opening up your spiritual consciousness to the acceptance of identity, you found the oil. Now, all of the tricks of the human mind will keep preventing you from accepting omnipresence. You'll have a birthday in the omnipresence of spirit, and then you'll have a death day in the omnipresence of spirit. You'll have human holidays. You'll have all kinds of human events while talking about the omnipresence of spirit. And you'll have all kinds of adverse conditions in these human events, but they aren't there. The omnipresence of spirit is there and ever has been there. And that spirit is not in your physical form. And so you cannot be living in that spirit and in your physical form. You do not even possess a physical body once you have accepted omnipresent spirit. You have a soul body, which appears to human sense as a physical body. And that soul body is the only one you acknowledge in all your ways as perfection itself. For it is your eternal body. And it must be lived in, experienced, to become your permanent realized body. When you were given the assignment last week to write down to yourself, I am spirit, and then let spirit tell you what you are, I'm sure some of you received some inner knowledge, and maybe some of you received a sort of an inner demand, a spiritual impulse which said to you something that is yours alone to tell no man. Now this must be realized, that whenever you receive this inner demand from spirit, every inner revelation you receive is a demand. Every true spiritual vision is a demand. Remember, spiritual vision, not psychic, not emotional, not mental. And those spiritual visions always bring with them an understanding of what they are. Even if that understanding is merely that this vision was to tell you that I am present, with no other meaning intended. But every inner revelation is a demand. And that means that unless you live up to the level of that demand, you are saying to the spirit, don't come back. Because your teacher is saying, this is where I want you to be now. I am teaching you, for example, that you are the omnipresent spirit. Before Abraham was, you are the omnipresent spirit. In the year 3 billion, you will be the omnipresent spirit, and you are that now. And if this becomes your inner revelation, that is a demand for you to rest in the word until you can say, I know it. I have it. I feel it. I accept it. I will live it. And until you do this, you'll be waiting a long time between inner revelations. Your inner teacher says, this is the level I've established for you, and you cannot change the sequence. You can't mentally run ahead and try to direct traffic. This is what I have ordained for you. And it is as you follow these inner ordainments to the level that they are requesting, demanding, that you one day will find the voice speaking, that the Spirit of the Lord has ordained me, anointed me. For the anointing is the ordainment. Now, way back years ago, we used to come out of a lecture and say, that was great. And then come back next week and hear some more. Now we don't do it anymore. All talk is a means of together sharing the spiritual impulse and letting that spiritual impulse establish its invisible activity as our own being all through the week, living in the God experience, in the spiritual experience, above the calculating mind, above the self-preserving mind, above every human consideration. And you'll know when you have no human considerations and you're just up there experiencing that the oil is flowing. You're being anointed. And that anointing is the preparation for the entire fulfillment of the purpose of this lifespan. The realization of self as God-self. With our human minds, we are not capable of this realization. Only through the soul center, and only through living throughout the day alone in that soul center, while in the midst of the world, is that precious ointment flowing. Next week our chapter will be the fifth in Contemplative Life. Always I'm depending on you to supply that inner vision to see that behind the words is always the intent to lift you into omnipresent spiritual identity. And between then and now, you should be working on the inner acceptance that spirit which you are never has a problem. And the acceptance of the problem then is the denial of your spiritual self. That spirit never has a division. And the acceptance of a competitor, or a husband, or a wife, or an enemy, or a friend, without the realization that this is my invisible spirit, is making a false division in your consciousness. And that spirit does not end at the horizon, or at the end of a year. It has no ending anywhere. And therefore, you have no ending anywhere. And no matter what may appear in the world, it is but the outer garment of the mind, camouflaging that where it appears to be, only you, your spirit, is. To accept your infinite spiritual self is the only way you will ever live in your infinite spiritual body. This is what we must be working on. It does not come through grace, it comes through effort and then through grace. It comes through application, it comes through conscious knowing repeatedly, it comes through conscious experience. And then, when you have opened out a way, when you are receptive through the continuous application of truth in consciousness, then through grace, you will feel your infinite spiritual body as a living experience. and no one will be able to deny it to you by word or deed. They won't have wars in your infinite spiritual body. They won't have pestilences or poverty or famine. Your invisible consciousness will be maintaining a perfect incorporeal body everywhere, and you will know it. This is part of our third degree. Let's all do our homework, telling no man. For now the things we would tell any man would be foolishness indeed. Chapter 5, Contemplative Life and Whatever Else the Spirit Has in Mind. Thanks very much.